Today, the case for more rate hikes builds as job markets remain mostly strong. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Today we've got the latest ABS labour force data for June 2026. And the strong results cements further the likelihood of another RBA rate hike this year. Traders are actually pricing in a 36% chance of higher borrowing costs when the RBA meets next month. And they've now fully priced in one more increase by the end of the year. That would take the cash rate to 4.6%, which would be the highest since 2011. Before the employment data was published, markets had priced in a 22% chance of an increase next month and a 79% chance by Christmas. The RBA Governor Michelle Bullock warned last month that the economy needed to slow for inflation to get back to the central bank's 2-3% inflation target, and she said that she would not hesitate to raise interest rates again if inflation became entrenched. The RBA expects the unemployment rate to gradually climb over the next couple of years as the economy slows, reaching 4.7% by June 2028. In other words, higher unemployment is by design. The next agenda item on this journey will be the inflation read due next week. If the trimmed mean inflation, that's a central bank's preferred measure, comes in at, let's say, 1% as forecast, it could seal the deal for a fourth rate increase. Baron Joey Chief Rate Strategist Andrew Lilly said the RBA would have no choice to raise rates in August if the trimmed mean came in at 1%, which is higher than Baron Joey's forecast of 0.9%. But then again, inflation is likely to be higher ahead too, thanks to the rising oil prices. Brent crude rose 2.6% just on Thursday to trade near $96 amid further unrest in the Middle East. The Iran-backed Houthi militants said that they attacked two Saudi Arabian tankers in the Red Sea, escalating the conflict and threatening further supply disruptions. $100 is on the cards, and there seems to be no exit route to the crisis. In fact, it's getting worse. Some say that the unemployment rate will increase again in coming months as the longer-term effects of the Iran war plays out across the Australian economy. But inflation, not employment, is the key. While these unemployment figures continue to contain a load of noise, the ABS indeed warned that June's jobs figures were affected by survey adjustments in New South Wales and Victoria. It's due to problems with the survey, like similar issues in places including the UK and the US. But the season-adjusted unemployment rate remained at 4.4%, with a 76,000 people rise in employment, driven by a 47,000 person rise in part-time employment. The trend unemployment rate also stood at 4.4%. The May number was revised up to 44,000 workers, by the way. And this highlights again that the numbers are a bit rubbery. The ABS said that part of the growth in employment this month came from those who were waiting to start a job in May. This represents a stronger June movement that had been observed in recent years. And they also continue to see higher numbers of people remaining employed in June, following elevated levels in the recent few months. Overall, the number of unemployed people rose by 13,000 in June, which combined with the growth in employment led to the participation rate rising by 0.3 percentage points to 67%. And people aged 55 to 64 years old have the largest annual growth in the participation rate, up 0.8 percentage points to 70.6%. The underemployment rate rose 0.2 percentage points to 6.5% in June. That's low, though softening. And if the RBA was looking for an excuse not to hike this month, well, this could be it. The number of part-time hours worked grew 1.2% in the month, and full-time hours worked remained flat. Annually, employment rose 1.7% from June 2025, and hours worked grew 1.8%. Across the states, there were significant variations. Victoria's unemployment rate climbed to its highest level since the depths of the COVID-19 pandemic, underscoring the state's economic weakness. As Alex Joyner over at IFM noted on X, Victoria's unemployment rate now materially is above all other states, pushing above 5% and above the period heading into the pandemic. There seems to be a clear divergence in Victorian employment performance and the other states. By contrast, New South Wales fell to 3.94%. Both states experienced a rise in the participation rate. The 0.7 percentage point gap between the Victorian and national unemployment rate is the largest divergence between the two measures in almost 16 years. AMP's Deputy Chief Economist, Diana Masaya, said that the data indicated a broader trend in which Victoria was weaker than other states on several metrics. Victoria is last on AMP's ranking of state economic conditions, while Western Australia is first. The Victorian cash-strapped government unveiled a series of cost-of-living packages, including free and half-price public transport, as it seeks to shore up support ahead of the election. Ratings agency Moody on Monday said the Victorian government was on track to spend one in every $10 of revenue on debt interest by 2030. The weakness across the Australian economy is in sharp contrast to the latest job story, as the OECD revealed recently that Australian real wages has fallen 5% over the past 5 years, one of the worst results among the organisation's 38 member countries. No surprise there, based on our surveys. And former Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe said the ongoing stagnation in living standards was sobering, and he was not optimistic that the situation would improve. Our living standards have stagnated. There has been no net growth in per capita income for 7 or 8 years. That's after per capita income rising 1.5% a year for nearly 3 decades. This is the fundamental economic problem the country faces. Lowe said the country's capital stock, the productive assets that underpin the economy, has not kept up with population growth, and that it's hurting us all. To change it, we require business to invest. We need Australia to be a great place for business to invest, expand, and hire people. It requires some more fundamental public policy reform. The RBA forecasts economic growth will slow from 2.5% to 1.3% by December, only marginally higher than it forecast for 1.2% population growth over the year. The growth slowdown means the 2020s may be the worst decade for living standards since the 1910s, when GDP per capita plunged 12% due to the economic dislocation caused by the First World War. A severe drought from 1914 to 1915 that wiped out the wheat crop, and the arrival of the Spanish flu in 1919, which affected up to 40% of the population. AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said poor productivity growth was the fundamental driver of the economy's malaise, with figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics showing labour productivity had barely grown since 2016. In fact, since the introduction of the GST in the year 2000, Oliver said there had been no big new reforms, while in other areas there had been backsliding, regulation again in industrial relations, urban congestion and high house prices caused by strong population growth, lackluster business investment, increasing market concentration and expansion in government spending and confusion over climate policies. So absent a strategic policy change from the government, the RBA will indeed have to lift rates to try to tame inflation. As Diana Masaya said, the RBA would probably view the unemployment data as indicating that the labour market was still a bit tight. The Reserve Bank meets in August, and we expect another 0.25% rate hike, which will take the cash rate to 4.6%, she said. This view is mostly premised on an expectation that next week's June quarter inflation figures will show trimmed mean inflation that is just way too high, running at 3.8% over the year when the RBA is targeting 2.5%. As the ABC noted last month, Australia is a houses and holds economy. And while the RBA consistently denies targeting house prices, there's no doubt they are one of the most immediate and powerful transmission mechanisms for monetary policy. RBA research has consistently highlighted the significant effects rates have on property prices, and they also impact turnover in the market and the flow-on activity that stems from real estate sales and home moves. Then there's the wealth effect. When property prices are rising, existing owners feel richer and more able to borrow and spend. If they see the value of the big asset falling, then their wallets are more likely to remain closed. Could Falling house prices, therefore, actually stay the RBA's hand despite the relatively strong employment trends. How worried are they really about the house price corrections currently in play? Now, here it's worth noting that they have an alibi, in that, as reported in the latest RBA bulletin, their community survey just released shows that inflation emerges as the single most pressing concern for all Australians across the three survey waves. Around two-thirds of survey respondents cited inflation as one of their top three economic concerns, and inflation was identified as the most prominent concern across all groups. Concern about inflation is pronounced, in particular, among lower-income households, who tend to be more vulnerable to changes in the cost of living, as they have less ability to cut back on non-discretionary spending or access savings to smooth their consumption. And concern about inflation is also closely associated with views about the economic outlook. Respondents who cite inflation as one of their top concerns were more likely to expect both economic conditions and their own household financial situation to worsen over the next 12 months. This pattern highlights that concerns about inflation and broader economic sentiment are strongly related. Other relatively prominent concerns provide additional context for how different groups experience economic conditions, they said. For example, employment and wages concerns were more prominent among younger respondents, those aged 18 to 44, who generally have less work experience and are more adversely affected than the rest of the population when economic conditions slow. Housing was another frequently cited concern, particularly among renters and younger cohorts, consistent with ongoing housing affordability challenges. So all up, unless the inflation read next time is remarkably improved, we still expect more RBA rate hikes ahead and soon. Let that sink in. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.